2 Kings chapter 2, verse starting at verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. Amen. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Jumping down back to verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Verse 2. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. Amen. And the title of my message is, "You Got to Want to." Turn to your neighbor, tell them, "You got to want to." Amen. Father, we just thank you right now, hallelujah, for your presence, for your anointing. Lord, I pray that you open my mouth, that the words that I will speak, Lord, will bless, will edify, will find good soil. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. Let everyone say amen. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, this story of Elijah and Elisha. Elisha was just minding his own business, doing his father's work, plowing some oxen, when the prophet came by and said, "God wants you. You got to come and follow me." And with the call of God, you either accept it right then and there, or you put it off. And Elisha did not put it off. He said, "Listen, I'm just going to go bid my parents goodbye." And then he made a sacrifice. It takes a sacrifice to fulfill God's will in your life. You've got to want to do this. It's not going to happen by accident. You got to want to do this. And the Bible said he took the 12 oxen that he was using that probably cost a fortune, and he offered all 12 of them as a sacrifice. You know what that he was doing? He was saying, "I'm not going back. I can't go back. I've already made a sacrifice. You got to want to do this. You're not going to make it until you have a made up mind, until you have made up a commitment that you want to do this." Elisha was determined he was going to have a double blessing. He wanted the mantle of Elijah. He was determined that he was going to inherit. And he said, "Listen, I want to know how I get this blessing. How do I get this blessing?" Elijah said to him, "If you see me when I disappear, if you see me when God takes me, you will get the double blessing." So he had a made up mind in his heart. "I'm going to make sure I've already killed all the oxen. I can't go back. I need to get the blessing. I need to get what God's got for me. I have got to make sure that I get this." So he started following Elijah everywhere he went. He wouldn't let him out of his sight. Every time Elijah went to somewhere, there was Elisha behind him. Till probably Elijah got, he said, oh no, I'm not going to let my blessing slip out of my hands. I'm telling you today, for you to be saved, you've got to want to. The Bible says you got to make your own salvation with fear and trembling. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. You have to want. See, Elisha was determined that he was going to get the double blessing. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19, "So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen." Today, if you had a combine harvester, you know how much those things cost? They're about $100,000. 12 yoke of oxen was a lot of oxen. That probably was a good 10 years labor of cost to buy that. But when the call of God came to Elijah, he realized that what was out there was so much better than what he was doing. And he wanted it. He did not hesitate. He said, "I'm just going to tell him goodbye." And then he made a sacrifice. Elisha immediately made a sacrifice of the very oxen he was plowing. He was not going back. He could not now go back to farming. Why? He had no plow. He had burnt his past. He was determined. He wanted to receive the promise. A lot of us start off so happy when we get saved, so excited. But just like the church in Revelation in Ephesians, the church of Ephesus, it said that they had grown cold. You've got to want to do this. And when you want to do something, you know what happens? It becomes your top priority. When someone wants to do something, they find a way. They find a way. Oh, they got to get up tomorrow morning, but they want to party tonight. They find a way. It's no problem. It's not an issue because they want to do it. They want something bad enough. You find a way. You have got to want to be saved. Let me say it again. I know it's quiet. You've got to want to be saved. See, we have so many other priorities. Brother Chris taught in Bible study about idols in our lives. Anything that we put before God. We get so busy. We get so caught up in life's wear and tear until we let God's priorities just go down. We don't care so much about his house, about his service. Now, I'm preaching to me. When I was at the other church, I really went there, I'll confess, to hide. When we moved to Benton Harbor, I wanted to find a big church so I could hide. You know, in a small church, there's no place to hide. Pastor can see you. Pastor knows you. Pastor visits you. Pastor knows you very well. But I thought, let me go to a big church. They got so many people, he won't be able to notice me. I'll be a good little Christian. I'll come on Sundays. I'll just do my little part. I'll throw money in the offering. I'll pay my tithes. But I'll just be able to, you know, not have to do much. But that lasted all of about 3 months. Pastor came to me and said, would you teach Sunday school? And I felt so convicted, so bad, that I was doing nothing for God. Even though, yes, because I know that I want this thing. The only way we're going to be saved is you have got to want this. This is not a halfway thing. This is not, I'll do that later. Jesus told the story in the parable of the wedding where many were bidden. They all came up with excuses. Well, I just bought some land. I got to go see it first. Well, I just got mad. You know what God wants? He wants you to be up there. In his priority has got to be right number one in your life. Elisha realized that what the prophet had told him was something amazing beyond the cost of the 12 oxen, beyond the cost of being a farmer. God had told him. Elijah was the greatest, the 400 prophets of Baal. And most of all, he was called of God. When God calls you, you shouldn't be turning it down. You shouldn't be having some higher priority. Because you know what he'll do? He'll find some king. Took him and made him king over Israel. But soon Saul lost his priorities. He wasn't about glorifying God anymore. He became about glorifying Saul. He told the prophet, listen, why don't you honor me before the people? God said, you know what? I'm going to have to find someone else. His love of me is no longer the number one priority. You have got to want to do this. Amen? Turn to your neighbor. You got to want this. Amen. If you don't want this, you are not going to make it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Here is a church. The very first church that was spoken of in the epistles that Jesus wrote to the seven churches. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Yes, God knows what you're doing, but that doesn't matter. If he's still not number one, it doesn't matter if you come to church like what I was trying to do was just to hide. I was like trying to do nothing. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou cannot bear them that are evil and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not and hast found them liars. But he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. That's so sad in a relationship where the love starts to go. It starts for people just not enjoying each other's company. Oh man, it's church again. In God's company, when we no longer see his service as something to be happy about. Lord, I'm so glad that I've been counted worthy to serve you. Even if it's just cleaning the church. The church of Ephesus had lost their first love. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. They no longer wanted to as much as they did at the beginning. When they were first saved, they were going to witness every day. They were going to come to new people and invite them to church. There was a joy about serving God. There was a happiness about serving God. There was a priority about putting God first. But after a while, it just becomes, as they say in the world, meh. You seen that emoji? Meh. Oh, it's just Sunday. I can watch at home. Nothing wrong with me, but I've got used to streaming. The Bible said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. See, the church of Ephesus had lost their first love, their determination, their zeal for his work. The church was becoming tepid and lukewarm. They were going through the motions. Yes, they hated the world, but they didn't love God. It's one thing to hate the world, but there's another thing to have that love of God where whatever pleases him is number one in your book. Amen? I know it's quiet today. Are there any worshipers in the house? You know, I spent hundreds of dollars when I got engaged just on telephone calls. Why? I don't know what we talked about. I don't know if she remembers. But just hearing her voice, just being in one another's company, that was so important. You know, those of you who have dated, can you remember what it was you spent all those, as soon as you got off work, hey, babe. Now, that's not me, but you understand. What you doing? Nothing. Nothing was exciting to you one time. But what about God's service? What excites you about knowing it's Sunday? You can come to church. You can lift up your hand. You can say, thank you, Jesus. He's done so much. I have nothing. Let me tell you, I have nothing to complain about. Not a single thing. I can't think of anything that I can complain of. He has blessed me beyond words. I don't really need anything. I can tell you that honestly. I have shelter. I have more food that I can eat. I have clothes. I have loved ones. You see, we've got to love God more than anything. You got to want this thing. If you don't want this thing, if this is not number one, you're going to have some trouble. Matthew 24:10. Matthew 24:10. And then shall many be offended. In Matthew 24, Jesus was giving some things. They had asked, his disciples had asked him, when are the end times going to be? What is going to be the sign of your coming? Let me tell you one of the signs of his coming. It's right here. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. You just see it on Facebook. Christians, quotation marks. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, what does it say? The love of many shall wax cold. People growing cold. Church is not their number one. Serving God is not their number one. Being pleasing in his sight is not their number one. See, it happened in the New Testament. After Jesus is resurrected, you would think, now, the disciples see Jesus killed. They see the spear going through his side. They see the nails in his hands. 3 days later, they see this dead person in person. He talks to them. The greatest miracle that ever happened. He came back to life. He talks to them. He tells them some things they're supposed to do. He says, go wait in Jerusalem. Go wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. What do? They go fishing. Go right back to where they were 3.5 years when he called them. You would think after such miracles, after watching, being 3.5 years with Christ. But you know what happened? They had become faithless. He had told them, go wait in Jerusalem. That should be your number one priority. Don't do anything else. Don't go back home. Go wait in Jerusalem. But they go fishing. He had to go and find them. So when he found them fishing, he had to ask Peter some questions. John chapter 21, 15. I think the Lord is asking some of us some questions. We just making ourselves happy with the flesh, but we don't really ask God, what do you want me to do? John 21, 15. You know, Jesus was, when he's about to speak to Peter and give him a little upbraid, he always calls him Simon. Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You got to want this. You got to want this. Let me say it a third time, just like Jesus. You got to want this. Do you love me more than what you're doing now? You walked away from those fishes. When I called you, you gone back fishing. The very thing I called you from. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith to him, yea, Lord. Here's our answer. Here's what we'd all say. Yes, Lord, we love you. Of course we love you. Well, then, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Today, if Jesus was to ask us this question, what would we answer him? Yes, Lord, I love you. Because love is an action. If you're going to say, yes, I love you, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you back fishing? Is your priority for what God called you back to fishing? Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was hurt because he asked him the third time, lovest thou me? And he's saying, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, okay, feed my sheep. God is talking to us today. We all say we love him. What are we doing? Do you want this thing? Do you want this thing? Do you want this salvation? Do you want God's blessing? Do you want God's deliverance? Do you want his healing? Well, you got to do something about it. It's an action that we have to take. It's not just saying the words, I love you. Repentance is not just crying. It's a change. It's a turning around. Everybody cries when they're caught. I've been in the courtroom. I've watched when the sentence comes down. Yeah, a lot of people cry. Let's go back to Elisha. He knew that if he just stuck with Elijah, he would get the blessing. So you know what? He wanted this thing. You got to want God's attention. You got to want his deliverance. You got to want this thing. If you think you're going to get what you're praying for by being, as they would say, happy-go-lucky, as just treating it as just a hey-ho, another day go, no, that's not going to work. Let me show you someone who wanted his healing. There was a man in the Bible named Naaman who lived in Syria, a great general, a rich, a potentate, an advisor to the king of Syria. And he heard that he could get delivered of his leprosy, but it wasn't close. It wasn't going to be easy. It wasn't next door. It wasn't picking up a phone. It was taking himself and traveling hundreds of miles to Israel and going and finding some prophet. But you know what? He wanted this thing. He wanted his deliverance. He wanted his healing. So if you want something, you got to do something. My friend Patrick has this saying, do nothing, nothing happens. Do something, something happens. A lot of us want it to be do nothing, something happens. No, that's not how it works. You got to want this thing. So you know what Naaman decided? I'm going to take a trip. It's going to cost me a lot of trouble, but I want this healing. I want this deliverance. I want my salvation. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus And thus saith the maid that is the land of Israel. His little slave girl told him, listen, I know a place where you can get delivered. I know a place where you can get healed. I know a place where you can get refreshed. I know a God who can do anything but fail. But you got to want this thing. You can't stay here in Assyria because he's not in Assyria. You need to go to the prophet hundreds of miles away to get your deliverance. So on the word of a little slave girl, because Naaman wanted this thing, he got himself together a caravan and he went to the king and said, listen, I just heard a rumor that I can get saved, that I can get healed, that I can get delivered. And I want this thing. 2 Kings 5, verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses. Can you imagine? He took this huge retinue with him. Chariots, horses, 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold. He wanted this thing. He was not going to go back to Assyria the same way. He took everything he had almost with him because he wanted to be rid of leprosy that disfigured his body, that separated him from his family. Do you want salvation? Do you want healing? Do you want God's blessing? Do you really want this thing? Well, we got to act like we do. He was prepared to sacrifice to get what he wanted. So he showed up at the prophet's door with this huge retinue. He was a potentate, an advisor to the king of Syria. And all that comes out is the servant. Hello, can I help you? See, at first he was mad. Yeah, well, the prophet says, go dip in Jordan. Go dip in Jordan. And at first he was mad. But then someone said, listen, if he'd asked you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? And he says, yes, because I want my healing. I want my deliverance. Well, then just go do it. I'm telling you, God has already told us what to do, just as he told Peter and the disciples. I told you, go wait in Jerusalem. But instead, many of us, we've gone fishing, gone back to what pleases us, what we like to do, what makes us happy, instead of asking God, Lord, what do you want? When have you prayed, Lord, what do you want? Instead of, Lord, I need this. I need this fixed. I got my car broken and I need this. The Bible says he knows what we need before we ask. Wouldn't it be great? And I've said this before. Instead, we pray, Lord, this is Monday morning tomorrow. Lord, what can I do for you? Where can I go today? Who can I speak to and tell them about your blessing, your greatness, and your love? You got to want this thing. David was so blessed. You know why? Because he said, I was glad. I was happy. I've said to you the greatest example of I don't even know what to label it, was when David's child died, praying for 7 days. He said he got himself dressed, anointed himself, went to church, and worshiped. You want to be a man or woman after God's own heart? You got to want this thing. The Bible says you got to work out your own salvation. I can't work it out for anybody else. I got to work on myself. I've got to make sure that I really want this thing, that I'm just not up here because I have this title pastor, but because I want to be saved. You got to want this thing. Point to your neighbor, tell him, you got to want this thing. See, there's a lot of people start out wanting this thing. They're happy when things are going great, when the Lord is blessing, when the miracles are happening, when the doors are opening, when the crowd is there, when the worship is great. Oh, yeah, sign me up for that. When the big names come into town and there's the big, oh, I'm going to go to that. But Sunday morning, I can't come to my church. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Here's an example. Here's Paul speaking about his friend Demas. Demas hath forsaken me. Why? He no longer loves God like he used to, having loved this present world. And he's gone back to Thessalonica. There were times when the great apostle Paul was left by himself, solo. The same one who had preached these great messages, written the books of Romans and Galatians and had the miracles. So I heard there's a revival over here, so I'm going over there. For Demas hath forsaken. You see, you got to want this thing. See, some people, what they want is a man or a woman. That's their number one priority. God is not their number one priority. Some people, what they want is fame and earthly success. They think being up here will give them. They have no idea. Some, they just want a crowd to speak to, and fame and activities. Some want a church with a show. Well, you're at the wrong church. This is not a church for a show. I'm not up here to put on a show. I'm not up here to hype you up. If the word don't move you, I'm not going to try. Some want social standing. They want to go to the rich, church of the rich and famous. There's a lot of them in town. Though God may look at some of them like that last church, the unnamed church. We won't even call that name. But Jesus is saying, lovest thou me? And we're all saying, yes, I do. And he's saying, okay, then are you going to go and do what I asked you to do? You've got to want this. You've got to want this more than anything else. The time is coming when you're going to be asked, you're going to be tested how much you want this. In some countries, that's happening now. They say, you're going to keep believing Jesus or we're going to cut your head off. What you're going to do? The time is coming where you're going to be tested. You see, God tests sometimes in silence. See whether you're following him just for the bread and the miracles. If you don't want this, if you don't know him, if you haven't had peace with God, if you haven't had a love that passes human understanding, you're not going to make it. Because Jesus is asking, just like Peter, do you love me? See, salvation is free. God's gift is free. But when we come, we have to respond. Even in the garden, God told Adam, you got to do something. You got to go dress it. You got to go keep it. See, it's not going to fall in your lap. You got to get up and do something. As I said last Tuesday night or Sunday, I said, listen, every miracle in the Bible, there was still a condition to receive it. Before Jesus healed people, he asked them a question. Do you believe I can do this? The widow woman with the last meal, she had to go bake a cake. The woman who had all these debts, she still had to go and get the cans for God to do the miracle. There is always something on our part for us to do. And how do we do this? By putting God first in our lives. Here's David in Psalms 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired. Did you notice how he started off that chapter? One thing. He put God first. One thing have I desired. One thing have I desired. One thing. Can we say one thing have I desired? Can we truly, honestly say, God, you're number one, number two, number three in my life. You are the one I desire. I want to be pleasing to you because there is coming a time when the Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. He said, anyone who is ashamed of me down here, I'm not going to confess your name. David in Psalms 27 verse 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Salvation is not a passive thing. Do you notice what he said? I will seek after. That means something with an action. That means getting up. That means seeking God. That means asking him, Lord, what is your will today? Who can I speak to? Who can I witness to? You got to want this thing. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What? They got church again? They got church three times a week. Here's David. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. If David could, what he's saying, I'd stay in the temple the whole time. That's where, listen, if you can't stay in the temple now, what do you think is going to happen when you get to heaven? Because there's going to be worship every day. Bible says the angels do not cease day and night crying, holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord God Almighty. If some of us get tired of coming out once a week, I don't think we're going to get the blessing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And David All he wanted to do was be in the temple and to start asking God questions, to study his word, to find out God's plan. See, priorities. What is our priority? I've told you this story so many times, but when we got married and I wanted my parents to give me money, she gave me a family Bible. I wasn't happy about that. Why couldn't she give me some money? That's what I wanted. I brought that Bible here. I still have it after 44 years. It's a bit in a bad shape, but I still have it. And inside that cover, my mother wrote Matthew 6:33. That was a message to me. But seek first. But seek first. Turn to your neighbor and say, first. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, I haven't been perfect at that. I really haven't. There have been times when I had ambition, when I wanted to do things. But God's been merciful, and for the most part, I think that I have been trying to seek God's will. And you know what? He has blessed me. He's given me everything I need. There isn't nothing I need. Even when I lost the job, all he did was give me a better job. When we put God first, he will put us first. You wonder why you're not getting your prayers answered? Because you don't want to. If you wanted to, you would make God priority in your life. He'd be your morning, midday, and evening. That's what the priests had to do. You know, there was a morning sacrifice, there were midday things, and there was an evening sacrifice. That was their life. You got to want this thing. You see, God is going to test us by being silent. You're going to go through a period where it doesn't seem God is answering. But if you want this thing, you will still trust. You will still believe. You will still seek. The amazing thing about Jesus, and I've said this before too, is we find out in John chapter 3 that when he was called to the marriage in Galilee, the Bible said Jesus was called and his disciples. The amazing thing about that is we know that he hadn't done a miracle yet. Because in the marriage of Canaan, turning the water to the wine, the Bible records that was his first miracle. Which means there were people who hadn't seen any miracles but were still following just on his word. Just because he said, follow me. See, at that time they had that love. 3.5 years later they got a bit discouraged because now he was gone and maybe hadn't spoken to them in about 3 or 4 days. So Peter said, let's go fishing. It's so easy to get discouraged and want to go fishing. That's why Elijah made a good call. You know, I might get tempted to go back to plowing. But wait a minute. I don't have any oxen. I have no choice. You know, they say that the Vikings, when they were raiding, when they would come ashore, the chief earl would burn all the boats. Okay, I guess we have to fight. I guess we better win. Because there's no out here. See, when you have a made up mind in your mind, you've burnt the boats. You've burnt the oxen. You've burnt the sacrifice because you want this thing. Amen. Seek ye first. This message is to me because sometimes there's other things I want. There's a lot of times I'm human. I don't want to be up here. Especially as I get older, I think of nice warm places. And I could. I can. I have the wherewithal. I could just go somewhere nice. But then I think of the scripture, the hireling fleeth. And I want this thing. I don't want this post, but I want his blessing. I want his blessing. I want his favor. I want his deliverance. I want his covering. I want his healing. If you could stand with me, I don't preach long messages. Let me tell you this. If you want this, then you will live this. Let me say it again. If you want this, then you will live this. You got to want this thing. He doesn't want lukewarm Christians. You see, it may seem everything's going right for you, even though you don't really have God first in your life. But the Bible says the end thereof. Got to look at the end thereof. I know where I'm going. When we're committed to what God wants, when we're committed to His will, our prayer will not be about me, 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 I. It'll be, Lord, nevertheless, not my will. How many of you want this thing? All right, we clapped. That's one action. But Jesus is going to say something else to you. I don't know what He's going to say. I believe He has an individual will for each of us. That's why we got to seek Him and tell Him, Lord, I want Your blessing. I'm going to make You number one in my life. Lord, I haven't been doing so. I've let other things be foremost in my mind, my success, my job, my children, my relationships. But Lord, I want You to be first, because He said it in Sunday school. You know what that is when we don't do that? We have put up an idol. We are worshiping some idols. God said in the Old Testament, I will not share my glory with another. You want to know why you're not getting the prayers answered? You're praying to the idol instead of to the one who you need to make number one. An idol can't answer you. Only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords can really answer you. And sometimes we're all guilty, me included. We need to want this thing more than anything else. That's the song. If you want this thing, you will live this thing. And if you do, not saying you won't go through some hardship. The Bible says, mark the righteous man, because look at the end. It's how you end up. You don't score while you're in the middle of the game. Sometimes the other team is way ahead and it looked hopeless, but I looked at the back of the book and in the end we win. I'm closing this service. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to give everybody an option whether they want to come. I'm just going to invite the whole church. This is for all of us. Let's all come down the front. And let's make a commitment that we're going to want this thing. That God is going to be number one. Number one or number one. There used to be a commercial I used to see many, many years ago. Furniture store. And they said, you could have this furniture in your choice of colors. Black, ebony, or charcoal. You understand that means you had no choice? You got to put God number one, number two, number three. He's not accepting any other choices. Hallelujah. We got to want this thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after that. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of His in His temple. Amen. I'm not going to come down and pray for everyone. What I want you to do is just lay your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you, and we're going to pray for each other. Or the person in front of you, find someone, just lay your hands on their shoulder. And let's make a commitment that we're going to put God first. God second, God third, that He will be all there is in our life. Hallelujah. Father, we just come to You today. Help us, oh God, to return to our first love, our desire to seek You with our whole heart. Lord, we just come right now, Lord, and we ask You to take away the desires of the flesh, that You will be number one in our lives, oh God, that we will seek You and Your will. And Your covering and Your healing and Your deliverance, that we will take away the idols of flesh, of desire, that you will be our number one priority, that you will cover us. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask you right now, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let there just be a moment of time right now, Lord, where we seek you with our whole heart, with every desire. We thank you, hallelujah, for your mercy and your grace, your covering and your love. Lord, you have never failed.